Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, thank you, Pastor Spencer. I thought he was about to start preaching my message for a minute, and I was like, hold on now, don't go there. So let me get situated here. I'm a old soul with a new soul, if that makes sense. I've got my notes on paper. I also have them on my iPad. So if you see me jumping back and forth, you'll understand why. But this afternoon, I want to start off by just saying thank you to Pastor Spencer and Madison for the opportunity. Like he said, he was my youth pastor. Without him, his correction and his direction, speaking from the Lord, him and Pastor Madison both, I would not be here today. Also want to say thank you to my family for coming out tonight. My brother, my sister-in-law, my dad, my mom, my little nephew, he is like 2 months old, like he's a baby. And then Aunt Marcia, someone asked if she was related to me. Been around my whole entire life, so might as well be. So thank you all for coming out. So this afternoon, 98% of you don't really know much about me at all. So for those who don't, you're going to get a little backstory of who I am. So like Pastor Spencer said, I'm blessed to be here at this house. I get to the opportunity to teach the elementary age children, so from the age of 5 or 6 up to 12. I started doing that in J-8, and the Lord's just had his hand on that all throughout. I also have the wonderful opportunity to do graphics. If you are a part of the graphics team, thank you. I love you. If you want to serve with the graphics team, let me know. Growing up, had a really good house. We were in and out of church because as a young boy, you love sports. We were focusing on sports all the time. And I kind of did some calculations. If my little brother and I hadn't have done sports, my parents probably would be millionaires at this point. Because of how much money they spent on us. But in the eighth grade, I decided to get serious for the first time with the Lord. And I say for the first time because it's been a process. After graduation, I went to DMC 2016. I felt like the Lord told me that I needed to do J-38, which is the School of Discipleship in Scottsboro. And I chose to go with a full-ride scholarship to Northeast over doing J-38. During those 2 years, I couldn't decide what I wanted to major in. And it's one of those we say the Lord's not an author of confusion. But I feel like that was, in those 2 years, he was blinding my sight to a future because I was being rebellious to what he. So the school was my whale, in essence, being Jonah, being rebellious to what he called me to do. So I finally decided to do J-8 in 2018. And actually, I was telling my mom before service, I got a picture today. Today to the day was the day that I stepped into J-38. And it's 6 years to the day. And so it's one of those, it's an honor to even speak, but just to know where the Lord brought me from and everything he's done in the last 6 years. So I did 2 years of J-8 School of Discipleship, and then I started SOM in 2020. So I was in J-8 in the middle of COVID, the middle of shutdown. We had 20-something people on campus, and we were scrounging for food. We literally went to Walmart the day of shutdown and bought out everything that they had because 20 people, we had to do what we had to do. So then I jumped into basically the full-time creations leader in January 2021, at Scottsboro, and then I moved to Fort Payne at the end of 2022. Been here ever since, and it's been a blessing. So that's the little backstory. Tonight's message, the title the Lord gave me was Level Up. And we're going to level up in our personal growth. So to give a little backstory on this, so I led pre-service prayer, not this last time, but the time before. And I felt like the Lord put just the phrase, it's a new season, in my heart to pray. And so as we were praying about it, it struck something with Pastor Spencer, and it was just like a connection point. Well, then something else. I'm a big numbers person. Give me numbers. I will find everything that has to do with that number. So the first time that it was brought to me to preach was 15 weeks ago. And I looked up the number 15, and it one definition for that means new direction. So I was trying to see how the Lord had all this correlating up, and it's 105 days from that day. And in those 105 means progress and personal growth. And so I was like, all right, Lord. So in these 15 weeks or 105 days, I feel like as a church, we've shifted in a different direction. And we're leveling up, but not only as a corporate setting, but also with personal settings. So level up, the definition to this is to advance or improve oneself, increase something in order to remove a disparity. And for me, I was like, what is a disparity? I'm not a big word person. When you're a numbers person, you're not a words person. So I looked up what disparity meant, and it's unfairness or unequal. And when we level up, we have to become unequal. We are stepping into a new platform, so we're not unequally yoked with things that's holding us back. And so growing up, I loved playing video games. A thing with video games is when you're on one level, you're playing, and then to level up, you have these achievements that you have to do. Oh, go find the red flag. You get points to level up. But then there's a thing called the boss level. And with the boss, he's this big bad monster, and he's supposed to be able to take you down with ease. And you do you use all the weapons that you have to take down the boss. And so with this, it kind of leads into our main text for tonight, which comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for this is the end we both labor and suffer reproach. Sorry, guys. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. And I don't know about you, but my Bible has a header to kind of switch these two areas that we're reading. The first one is a good servant of Jesus Christ. The second one says, take heed to your ministry. And when I seen that, when we level up in our personal ministry, is just a personal relationship with the Lord. Then we can go out and then talk to other people about what the Lord has done. And so you don't have to stand at a pulpit to be in ministry. You can lead someone at a gas station. Right after a night of summer hunger, my mom's called me like 6 or 7 times because she's seen I was at a gas station. What is going on? I was like, sorry, I ended up talking to a guy. His name was Austin, and I got his whole backstory, got to pray with him. And he goes, and it's one of those, you know, when you meet people, you invite them to church, it's a 50-50 chance if they're going to show up. Still to this day, I'm still praying for him. Have I seen him? Again, no, but I'm still believing that the seeds that were sown will one day flourish. But in verse 12, this is where the next part starts. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear. And so tonight, verse 3 are the three ways that the Lord gave me that we can level up in our personal growth. And in verse 13, I'm going to read it again. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So the first one is reading. And when I looked at the definition to reading was reading, thanks. What does that mean? But it also means knowing and to know again. So I can read this Bible front to back and not get anything out of it. But it's one of those, I can read it, oh, John 3:16, we've all been able to quote it since the age we were able to talk. But it's one of those, do we really understand what it's saying? In Nehemiah chapter 8, this is where Ezra is teaching and he's reading the law. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Sometimes, and this will go, one thing that you're going to see tonight is all three ways you can level up go hand in hand with each other. You can't have one without the other. Because in Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra, again, is speaking the word. And that's what I get the opportunity to do tonight is to speak the word. And so if you give yourself full-heartedly and lean in, like Pastor Spencer's been teaching us over the last really few months, just lean in and engage, you'll be able to understand something new from the Bible tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until the day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. One thing while we're reading, I can mundanely open up my Bible and just read. And I will never understand what the word is really trying to say to me unless I ask the Lord to help me understand. And so it goes back to anything that we do without the Lord, 95% of the time we're going to fail. He has that little grace every now and again. It's like, oh, for example, with me, I had that full ride scholarship, but I could not figure out what I wanted to do until I was obedient to what he had said and actually asked him to come into my life. The second way that we can level up is exhortation. The definition of exhortation is calling near, calling for help, encouragement, comfort, and refreshment. In Acts chapter 15, verse 31, it says, when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. When you read your Bible, you should feel refreshed. You should feel encouraged. One of the definitions says calling for help. When you call for help, sometimes you're not doing things on the right way. Sometimes it's too heavy for you to bear on your own. So when you read the word, you should be encouraged. Like Pastor Spencer was saying earlier, we've had heart to hearts, but I know that everything that he said was out of love. Just like when my parents get on to me, why are you doing that? I don't know. Well, don't do it because you're going to get burned. Don't touch the stove. You're going to get burned. I've learned my lesson a couple times. But the same way when it comes to here at the church. This is one of the safest places that you can make mistakes because people are going to, hey, we don't do that because they're going to explain why we don't do something. Sometimes I hear parents sometimes, stop screaming. Why? And the child will ask, why? They're curious. They want to know. When you read your word, well, why does it say this? your Bible is going to, once you ask the Lord for help, he's going to help you with that. I put Proverbs 28, Pastor Madison, I didn't give you some of these scriptures, I apologize. Proverbs 28, verse 1, this is where it says, oh, only the wicked flee when nothing's chasing it. But I'm talking to people and I'm like, oh, well, I like to run, I like to work out. Only the wicked flee when nothing's chasing it. You know, people are agreeing with this, you know. But here Paul tells us in, let me find the verse, I apologize. In verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little. At least I'm not staying stagnant. A car, the only way a car will not continue to run properly is when it sits still. The only way that your Bible is not going to work for you is when you leave it sitting on your desk and it does nothing. And so it's one of those, when people tell me that, the first time someone's like, oh, only the wicked flee when nothing's chasing, I did get down on myself. I was like, well, they're right. Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, but I also have learned over the years to not take everything people say to heart, because sometimes people are just speaking out of their own ambition. They're seeking their own profit out of it, trying to make themselves feel better. But with this, are you walking away from every conversation encouraging somebody? In that situation, is it encouraging to tell someone, oh, only the wicked flee? No. That's awesome. I'm glad that that's something you like to do. Me, I like to, you know, for example, Pastor Spencer would be like, I like to golf. You don't want to see me swing a golf club. It would be the worst thing ever. At that point, it would be funny to make fun of me because it would be a funny situation. But in Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 8, it says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scorns every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So this automatically tells me correction hurts. But it's, you've got two options. Either you can take it to heart and run away, or you can take heed to it and say, you know what, I messed up, I've made a mistake, I'm going to either learn from my mistake or I'm going to run away from my mistake. When you run away from your mistakes, you're only going to make more mistakes. I don't know if, has anybody in here like ran away from a mistake and made more mistakes, or am I the only one? Okay, I'm glad I've, just me, okay. That's good to know. But the thing with exhortation, like I said, it's not always the most fun in the moment. Because when you get corrected, that's when you have to step up and go to that next level. Okay, this is what I did. Level up or level down? Which one are you going to choose? The third thing is doctrine. And with doctrine is the teaching, instruction, and learning. And in Romans 15, verse 4 through 6, it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, and that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ, that you may be with one mind and with one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So right here in Romans, everything that's already written in the word here is true. Nothing in it is false. And it tells us, is written for our learning. You're never going to learn anything, and this is where I said things go hand in hand. You're never going to learn anything without reading. And so, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 17. I'm going to skip through some of this. In verse 10 it says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Lystra, what persecution I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me." So Paul's automatically saying, hey, I've already went through the trials and tribulation, but I've learned that because of what was taught in the past, because I was open and obedient to learn and listen to the doctrine, I overcame because the exhortation that the Lord gave me. But in verse 12, it says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I don't know about you, but every time I turn on social media or look at social media, I have to be very careful of what I'm watching, because someone could say, oh, the Lord gave me this. Okay, something's not setting right in my spirit. And it's one of those, that's where you have to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is this true doctrine? Because it tells us right here, they're only going to grow worse and worse. And in this day and age, it's only getting worse. And so that's where we have to stand true and follow these three things to level up. In verse 14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." And that's one thing that I am very big on, is teaching the children. And this is where it goes back to my J-8 years. I'm going to be honest, I didn't want to jump into the children's ministry. I was okay staying in the nursery. I was asked one day, hey, I need help in creations. Sure, I'll come sit in there and watch the children. Oh, we got a special guest this morning. Logan, come on up. What are we teaching this morning? Had nothing. But from that moment, I found how important it was to teach the children Scripture. And it's one of those, we went through the books of the Bible. I'm pretty sure some of those children can name off the books in the Bible in order better than I can, being 26, almost 27. I'm like, okay, if I'm going to teach them, I'm going to have to stand true to what I'm teaching them. I can't expect them to learn something if I'm not going to take heed and do it myself. Picking back up in verse 15, halfway, "which are able to make you wise for salvation, though through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So right here at the end of this chapter, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. That's number three. Reproof for correction goes back to number two. Correction comes through exhortation, and instruction in righteousness. Being a guy, I don't like reading instructions, but this is written for, this is our instruction manual on how we can live life. Now I want to tell you a little story, and I'm going to butcher the story up because I've not read the story 100% today, and it's one of those, it's a little bit spotty. But there was a family that went to this zoo. And this zoo had just normal men walking elephants around with ropes, just leading them around. And the dad looks and goes, I'm getting my children out of here. That is the most unsafe thing in the world. What kind of psycho are you to have an elephant by a rope? Well, then the elephant trainer began to tell the story or the history on it. They took the elephants from the time that they were born, took a rope, wrapped it around their neck, and wrapped it around a tree. And so they were sitting here pulling, trying to yank away from the tree, but they never could get loose from this tree. So they grew up for the first few years of their life. Now they fed them, they watered them. It's one of those things. But they kept them tied to the tree for multiple years. And so at the time that the elephants are walking around with the elephant trainer, they've already got in their minds, oh, if I have a rope around my neck, I can't do anything. And so this rope has so much power over an elephant's life. I don't know if you've seen an elephant in real life, been to the zoo. Elephants are big. They're scary. They can trample any and everything. Now, how can a little rope have that much power over something that big? It's because it's ingrained. And it's like, oh, you grow up through life and you're like, someone says that you're dumb. Now it's stuck with you your whole life. And it's one of those, oh, it's easier said than done to just forget those things. Understandable. But another story that rolls with this is with the ropes is DMC 2023. Pastor Greg was preaching a message, and he asked me to be his analogy. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this sounds cool. Like, what am I going to do? He said, you're going to be Lazarus. Okay. So, y'all, he wraps me up, and I'm wrapped up in this cloth for over 2.5 hours. I am behind this curtain sweating. I wiggled out, got my phone, and I text Austin Foote, and I was like, bring me water, please. And so with that being said, he comes out, and then he, in the story of Lazarus, it says, and then they unwrapped him. I had to wait for some of the students to actually understand. Pastor Greg was saying, get up and come help this poor guy out. He needs out of his grave clothes. And that's how we level up, is coming out of those things that was once holding us bound to a grave and unwrap yourself, but it takes someone else's help. I don't know, I hear everything about Super Mario Brothers, everything. Mario and Luigi, one needs the other. And it's one of those, in that moment, Lazarus needed his friends to help. In that moment, I needed someone to come and wrap those grave clothes off me because it was hot. But this goes to lead into our next, this past DMC, I felt the Lord was speaking certain things, and as soon as I got there on camp, I automatically had the mindset of, I don't want to be Lazarus again. Please don't put me back in those grave clothes. And something that the Lord was working on me through that season, see, DMC is not just for the youth, sometimes it's for the leaders as well, is he said, sometimes you are free enough to do certain things, but you're not free enough to do the full potential because you still have those little ropes binding you up. And I had to have a heart-to-heart with Pastor Greg and just tell him what the Lord was speaking. And he goes, that makes total sense, because to level up and to go to have personal growth, you have to go to the next level, seeking wisdom and counsel from those above. But when you level up, things don't always get easier. But a quote by Frederick Douglass said, if there is no struggle, there's no progress. And you hear it all the time where it's, they say, oh, well, when you have a greater calling, you're going to have greater demons. I don't like that. I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't. Because according to my Bible, only a third of the angels fell with Lucifer. So it's a 2v1. But another thing, I always wondered, why did a third of them fall? It was their job to worship. They had everything made. But that's the problem, is it become their job. They were made for worshiping Jesus, but they made it their job. And the thing is too many times we make it our job, we start doing it in our own strength. And when you start doing things in your own strength, oh, well, I can do this better than Pastor Spencer. Can you? I can do this, and I'll just do it this way. Okay. How well is that working out for you? But when you level up, it can be a scary thing. Because guess what? When you go to the next level, more things are going to be required from you. And we shouldn't be afraid of taking that step. And it may even be a slow process, but as an encouragement, don't be afraid of slow growth. Because again, it's better than nothing. Because when you stand there and you do nothing, you become stagnant. And I don't know if you've been around stagnant people. They're not fun, pleasant people to be around. They're low to the ground. They have a bad outlook on life. If you walk away being encouraged by someone who has a bad outlook on life, where's your outlook on life? Though you cannot restart your life, tonight we can make a fresh start and make a new path and put our focus back on the Lord by doing these three things, by reading the word, by encouraging one another, and by listening and taking heed to the doctrine. So if everyone will stand, and I've got a little prayer here that I kind of want to pray over everyone. To truly elevate every aspect of your life, it means to commit to growth in all areas of your life, in your career, in your relationships, in your health, and etc. It's about striving to be better every single day. The process remains intentional, or requires intentional effort and willingness to step out of your comfort zone. When you elevate every part of your life, you're not just leveling up, but you're transforming into the best version of yourself. So don't let a strain from the past hold you back from who God has called you to be. So Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for who you are. God, we ask that we would take heed to your word, that we would begin to ask you in every aspect of our life to, as we read your word, to uncover the truths in your word, and that you would highlight certain things that we need to focus on and that we need to read more of. Lord, I just ask that we would be a people of encouragement, Lord, that we would encourage one another and help build each other up. And if there needs to be correction or anything of the sort, Lord, that we would do it in love, but Lord, that ultimately it would come from you. Lord, we ask that we would take heed to the doctrine. Your word is written for us, whether it be spoken by Pastor Jeff, Pastor Spencer, Pastor Madison, whoever it may be, Lord, that we would all lean in and take heed to what your word has to say. So, Lord, we thank you for who you are. And, Lord, we just ask that if there is any small rope that's holding us back from our past, Lord, that tonight that you would cut it and that you would allow us to grab hold of who you are. Because if something's holding us back, we can't grab hold of what you want to do. So, Lord, again, we thank you. We love you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, let's show Logan how much we appreciate him. That was an awesome word. And the thing that I appreciate the most about that word is it's very easy in Pentecostal circles to just fire people up and say, you're going to level up, you're going to level up. And I get so sick of that because we tell people they're going to level up and then we fail to tell them, hey, you have a responsibility to level up. You have a responsibility to work your own salvation out with fear and trembling. You have a responsibility to read the word. You have a responsibility to give and receive exhortation. You have a responsibility to be taught the word of God and to receive instruction. So I appreciate you giving biblical steps to, now I want to say this to you, if you don't level up, it ain't his fault, it's your fault. Because you didn't take the steps that were in the Bible, not Logan's steps, God's steps to level up. And so let's do that. Let's be people that level up and that increase. And that's part of what we talked about Sunday morning. Grain represents increase. Increase, in order to increase, you got to grow. And one thing I love about, you know, in the scripture, it talks about, Jesus says there's a guy that, you know,
He plants seeds, and then he begins to reap a harvest, and he has to keep pulling down his barns and building bigger barns because he's got to have somewhere to put the harvest. We've got to increase and make room in our lives and level up for what God's going to do. Amen? And let him do the rest. So, Logan, thank you very much. Let me speak a blessing over you tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, smile all over you. And I speak that you would level up, that you take responsibility for what God is calling you to do in this season right now. And may he be with you in all that you do, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all. We love you. Thank you, Logan. Great word.